We are meeting here Monday, March 4th. The time is 8:03 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Gary Stevens, Senate President Huggins, Senator Dunley, and we have other members who are on the way. But we have a quorum to conduct business, and we're going to take up Senate Bill 41 relating to school student participation in interscholastic activities in religious and other private schools. And following that, we'll be hearing a presentation by Alaska Council of School Administrators and their work on the Alaska Learning Network. Thank you all for being here. This is the second hearing of Senate Bill 41. My intention today is to move this bill onto its next committee of referral. We have the bill sponsor staff here and others online for questions. We've not yet closed public testimony, so we'll have that opportunity. If there are any others wishing to testify on this bill, you also will have that opportunity to do so. And at this time, then, I'd like to ask for a motion, Mr. Dunleavy, to adopt the bill before us as a working document.
I move we adopt Senate Bill 41, version 28-LS0392/U as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object to move to the motion for discussion purposes and call upon the bill sponsors and staff to offer further testimony at this time.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Thank you for having us back again today.
And just for the record, if you identify yourself.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Chuck Cobb, staff to Senator Fred Dyson, the bill sponsor, and I have with me Joshua Banks, also staff to Senator Dyson from our office. Senate Bill 41 amends current statutes to make participation in interscholastic activities at a non-public school available to a larger number of students who are otherwise not eligible to participate. This is a continuation of the legislative work that began last year in Senate Bill 119. Senator Meyer's bill expanded it so that parents of homeschoolers and state-recognized homeschool programs could participate in interscholastic activities at a public school, and it set the framework in Title 14, Chapter 30, so that could happen. And this bill simply makes it so that a parent of a child in a state-recognized homeschool program can also partner with a non-public school for interscholastic activities.
Thank you, Mr. Kropp.
Thank you.
Further explanation that you have for us, Mr. Banks?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Joshua Banks, and we can take any questions that yourself or members of the committee have.
Thank you. Well, if you'll hold on for a few minutes, we'll go to the public and see if there is any testimony or any input anyone in the public has, either here in the room or online. Now the public hearing is closed, and we'll move back to the committee. Are there any questions, Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to thank Senator Dyson and his staff for bringing this forward. I know at Chugiak High School we had an unfortunate incident with a student there in the curriculum, and I think this goes a long ways to correct that, and I just say thank you very much for doing it.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Further comments?
I apologize for being late and if you already addressed this, but my question is, if there's a private school, why do they want to take students, and what about costs?
Yeah, so this really isn't about a private school wanting to take students. It's really about parents of homeschool kids in state-recognized homeschools and having the option to partner with a private or a non-public school as they can now, due to Senator Meyer's bill last year, with a public school, is simply making that partnership possible. ASA is colorblind, if you will, with respect to a school. Whether you're a non-public or public, you're just a member school of ASA. And this bill simply makes it possible for, again, homeschool parents to partner with a non-public school like they can with a public school now.
Through the chair, if I might. Thank you. I understand that, but my question is, for the state to tell public schools that they can accept students who aren't enrolled in their bricks and mortar building is one thing, but for us to tell a non-public school that they should accept these students or have to, or they have the option to accept them, That's kind of the first part. Why would we tell a government, a non-government agency at all, that they have to do this? And then secondly, the student fees don't cover all the costs of running a program, so how does that work?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Gardner, for good questions. First of all, this bill is entirely permissive. There's nothing in the bill that requires the partnership to occur. It just makes sure that the law is not the vehicle standing in the way of that.
Thank you.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And that's an excellent point. I happen to have read the commentary that was sent to us, I think, from Grace Christian, where the principal was concerned about exactly that point, where people would come from off campus and crowd out the students that were on Grace Christian's campus. And it was pointed out to him that it was permissive. I saw the, and I appreciate that. But it was an excellent question.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe just to follow up, help me to understand this, Mr. Cobb.
Yes.
I know one of the problems our schools often have is the cost of transportation and moving a team from Kodiak to Anchorage to compete. And it's entirely possible that all of those funds could be used up by homeschoolers, for example, but that's not the intention here. Somebody would make that decision, somebody other than us, and other, it would be at the school who'd make that decision. Who's going to be traveling? Who's going to be using the limited money that is available?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it's another good question. We followed the similar language that was adopted last year in 1433-65 Interscholastic Activities. Basically the same bill as it applies to public schools. And it gives the school the permissive and decision-making authority so they can determine, the Chugach High School, you raised that, Senator Stevens, or Senator Huggins, if the coach knows he's got 25 spots on his football team, but he's got 60 kids come out, and maybe 20 of those are homeschool kids, the coach, working with the administrator of the school, can decide how many spots they have available. And also, they do charge fees for participation, public school, whether it's wrestling, football, basketball, there are athletic fees. Private schools can do the same thing. Whatever kids they do accept, the families would have to agree to pay the athletic fees for travel, like you said. But again, I think both bills do a good job of leaving it with the school to decide how many and what. It just makes sure that the law isn't the tool that's preventing that partnership from happening.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cobb. I appreciate that explanation, and now that it's a part of the record, it'll be there. Any further discussion, questions?
Just a comment. I'm sitting here, and I should have thought about this over the last 28 years, but I didn't, I guess, really dwell on it. But recently, there's a lot of discussion about schools, kids, what kind of kids, public, private, and it's difficult for me to divide kids into two classes, no pun intended, but those that attend public schools and those that don't, because in my mind they're all Alaskans. I mean, they pay taxes in the same vein that everyone else pays taxes, but they're all kids. And I just want to get on the record that I don't differentiate between children in Alaska into two. I don't put them into two classes. I understand there's a need to do that at our level for funding, but I don't think the funding should. I don't think the funding should decide how we view these kids. If we've got a funding problem, where we have a funding mechanism in place that does it, I think we need to take a look at it.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Further comments, discussions, questions? If not, then I will remove my objection and to adopting the CS. And is there a motion to move the bill, Senator Dunleavy?
Yes, there is. Mr. Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill 41-U from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Seeing no objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 41 version U is moved from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to allow committee members time to sign the document. please. We'll move on to a discussion with Kelly Sorensen, who's the registrar for AKLN. Kelly, if you identify yourself, please, for the record.
Kelly Sorensen, registrar for Alaska's Learning Network.
And if you have testimony, please present it.
I do. Thank you. And thank you, Senator Stevens and members of the committee, for giving us this opportunity to share a little bit about Alaska's Learning Network. And quickly, if I could, just to start, I may be the only paid employee of ACLN, but it affects a lot of people. And so some of those people are here today. So if I could just ask the superintendents to stand up, and just if you could introduce yourself, your name, and what district you're from.
Thank you.
You've been here. Scott Butterfield, Chatham School District.
Thank you, Scott.
Norm Eck, Northwest Arctic.
Good to see you, Norm.
Michael Meyer, Haynesboro School District.
Right, thank you.
Rob Thomason, Petersburg.
Thank you, Rob.
Ty Mays, Lakeland Penn School District.
Thanks, Ty.
Jim Avey and Penn Island School District.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Callan, Northwest School District.
Thank you.
Gary Baldwin, Lower Prescott Farms School District.
Bob Boyle, Kitchener Gary Burns School District.
John Conwell from Alaska.
Alex Preston, Lower Yukon.
Thank you.
Todd Poe, Alaska Gateway.
Lisa Keel, Cordova.
Thank you very much. And then we have just a couple of business partners here as well. If you could just stand up and say your name and who you're representing. So ASTI and...
Yeah, I'm Mike Della, Director of Mind Training for the University of Alaska Southeast.
Mark Stanley with the Alaska Society of Technology and Education.
And Pam?
Pam Lloyd, GCI.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for that.
So
to start, I have to start with an analogy, and it starts with my picture behind you. So this is a group of bubble net feeding humpback whales. And the reason that I chose that was because these whales do this. They use their time so that they're working collaboratively to make the best use of their time and our energy. So time and energy in education is something that we value very much, and that's what I'd like to think that Alaska's Learning Network does. So unfortunately, this presentation is behind you, but I do have lots of...
We have one in front of us, too.
Isn't that clever? Don't you love technology sometimes?
Time and energy.
I tell you, time and energy. I love it. So our little motto is making education accessible, and you can see we've got people here from lots of parts of the state. So because I'm a teacher, I have to start with the essential question. And so what I hope you're asking yourselves is, what is the value of this program, as I'm sure you are, to our students, our teachers, but also to our state? So this is just a little video that introduces Alaska's Learning Network. Oh, sorry about that. Start that again. Turn it
up a little bit. Fewer than 20 students. For these schools, it is nearly impossible to offer every class their students need from highly qualified Alaska certified teachers. Alaska's Learning Network is here to help.
Learning Network offers online classes for students in grades 9 to 12 in English, math, science, history, social science, and world languages.
Okay, so that's just an overview. So I'm going to speak for another about 10 minutes as an overview just to let you know about the program, and then we're going to have a group from Haynes, invite them up to speak kind of as a case study, how they're using ACLN. And then we will finish with Scott Butterfield, who is our chairman of the board, to talk about our partners. Who we are. So you've met some of us. So we're a coalition of 53, all 53 school districts, and we're managed by a board. And so we're providing high school distance online classes for students. And we're driven specifically by the courses that are targeted for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. So that's primarily what we do. And I believe most of you were there for the presentation from the APS.
I'm sorry, we have a question.
Yeah.
So did you exist before the passage of the Alaska Performance Scholarship, or did you come into being in response to that?
Could I actually pass that question on to you, Steve Newcastle?
Steve, would you mind coming forward so we can catch you on the microphone? And identify yourself for the record, please, Steve.
Mr. Chair. Steve Newcastle, Southwest Region Schools, and I'm a member of the ACLN board. ACLN is actually the culmination of about a 20-year effort in a number of different ways. There have been a number of different organizations and tries at this to provide this to students across the state. So we did exist before the Performance Scholarship as a group. The roots of this current effort began in 2009 with former Commissioner Ledoux when he pulled a group together from across the state, a very broad-based group here in Juneau. And that was where the roots of this current effort came from.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly.
Thank you. It's before my time. I'm not sure that I'm responding correctly. Okay, so we're specifically targeting the Alaska Performance Scholarship because, as you know, in our rural district, sometimes there's one teacher for who will have to teach five classes, and it's almost impossible for them to be highly qualified. So what we're doing is we're providing that equitable piece so that they have access to all the courses. And this is a representation of our board, so you can see that we're represented by all regions in the state. And then our students. So each one of those little blue markers indicates either a student or a school who is currently taking an ACLIN course. So I've already mentioned this. What we do is we offer online distance courses for students. And then we have kind of two sub-pieces that support that. So we offer professional development for our teachers who are developing those courses and taking their classes online and offering them to the students of the state. And we also have a digital repository of artifacts. So what that means basically is Alaskan teachers can put lessons, units, modules, and entire classes in the repository, and then teachers can use it whenever they need to for free. So we work in partnership with schools and districts, and what that means to us is that our funding for the base student allocation doesn't get touched in the districts. And then the fees go back to the district providing the class, or they can choose a seat. So an example, we have a teacher in Cordova, Doug Carroll, who is teaching a pre-calculus class for us. So I believe he has about 8 students in his physical classroom in Cordova, and he has 4 students, one's from Lake and Penn, 2 are from Hoonah, and 1 is from Hoover Bay, Lower Yukon. So he takes on those 4 students as distance students. So that means his district either gets the $300 for each one of those students, or his students in Cordova can have a choice to take an ACLIN course. So say one of those 8 kids needs an Alaska Studies course. They can take an Alaska Studies course from us, and that takes one of their seats away. Make sense? It's kind of the confusing part of how it all works.
Maybe a question, Senator Huggins.
Yeah.
Yes, Kelly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Kelly, Charlie Huggins. You know, actually, we had 3 students from Cordova that were here previously, and some of us had breakfast with them, and there was a young man that was in the class you're describing, and he was very proud. Number one, that math was his favorite subject.
That's great.
Number two, though, he was talking about those 4 students that were part of the learning network, and I was impressed by the fact that a person sitting in the classroom was proud of his teacher and his school for being able to do that outreach. Thank you for that comment.
Another comment that I've heard is
Gardner Ellis's question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Since there was already a break, when you do the professional development for teachers and administrators, is that face to face or by distance learning?
Both.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Great question. We like to blend as much as possible, face to face and online. Okay. And then to get back to kind of that partnership idea, the students in Cordova who are taking the class. Or I'm sorry, the students in Hoonah who were taking the class from the teacher in Cordova, one of them was having trouble, so had some holes. Pre-calculus is a tough course, it's very rigorous. And so what Doug did was he talked to the math teacher in Hoonah and said, hey, this student has some deficits, need to work on them. Math teacher in Hoonah helped the student out, so he was successful in the course. So it's kind of the flexibility that we have to work with teachers and students that way. And so our courses, they're quality, they're rigorous, they're vetted by INACL, which is the International Association for Online Learning, as well as the EED Content Specialists and the Performance Scholarship Reviewers. We offer dual credit courses, so that means high school and university credit. We have 3 of those currently. And we also are looking to develop more CTE Career Pathways classes. Right now we have 1 mining class, which I'll tell you a little bit more about here in a second.
That's maybe really you can tell us a little bit about the college credit and who does that go through?
Yes.
What part of the university is involved in that?
One of them is UAS credit. One of them is a articulated statewide, so UAF, UAS, UAA, all of the University of Alaska schools. And then the 3rd class is another, I can't remember. Yeah, Roxy, would you be able to answer that one?
Thank you.
College. For the record, Roxanne Moran, I'm with Department of Ed, and the dual credit courses, we have a partnership with the University of Alaska, and Dana Thomas, the Vice President, has taken that on for us. So he said, give us the course syllabus, the teacher, and then he'll make sure it's articulated statewide.
And so that's accepted at any institution of the University of Alaska, any campus?
That's our goal. I can say right now that the three classes we're working on right now are still in the works, but that's the goal, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is our fall course listing. It's difficult to see, but you can see that we've got all of the courses, core classes for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. And then one thing we did want to make sure of when students and guidance counselors and teachers are picking out classes, we wanted them to know which ones qualified for the scholarship. So the little round icon that you see there are the qualifying courses for the scholarship. And then we also got permission to use the Made in Alaska symbol for our Made in Alaska classes. So second semester, we only had three. First semester, most of them are year-long, so they were offered in the fall. Okay, so this is a recording of our mining class. This is one of our dual credit class, also CTE Career Pathways. So the goal is to introduce the high school students to the career of mining. So this is just a look at what an online class looks like.
I'm going to put this on the next few slides. It'll say the same thing if anyone wants to add to that. And that includes the ones that may be on video conferencing. If you have a computer, want to text to Kelly to make sure you get your 2 cents in there. Or 5 cents, even. Okay, time's up. Juno Grip 1, what'd you come up with? The single most important thing. Everybody's going to answer this one. What you got? It's what? Willing to learn. That's huge. Okay, that's a good one. Group two, what do you think?
Good work ethic.
Good work ethic. Okay. Haynes.
Haynes, Corey said the ability to work safely. Morgan said the skill they needed to have to work for your company. Then the skill to work in the job that they are applying for. Ezekiel, the ability to show up, and Austin Hobbs said consistency.
Okay.
People and team skills, common sense. I think that being able to perform the job correctly and quickly, honesty, willingness to learn, and most important, adaptability.
Okay, so they hit on, for me as an employer, the absolute most important thing there. Other than attendance, obviously, they need to show up. Honesty, in my view. Okay, we're ready to go. You can keep talking a little bit amongst yourself, but I'd like Prahuna to tell us too.
Okay. Two skills would be attendance and safety.
Attendance and safety, okay. Nobody else can use those two.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah.
Okay, for protection.
Okay. The first one would be a teachable person, and number two would be self-sufficient, and three would be a leader, able to follow orders.
Okay, so which do you want, self-sufficient or self?
All right, so that gives you an idea of what it looks like. So it's interactive. You saw some of the technology tools that we're using. So that's another bonus of these classes is they're learning how to use the computers and online tools.
Thank you, Kelly. An enormous amount of technology going on here. Is there any assistance to the teacher? Are they just thrown into this on their own? Does someone sit down and tell them, or is there a class to help them figure out how to elicit responses, get the kids involved?
Great question. Thank you. So we have an on-site supervisor at every site. So that depends on the school. Sometimes it's a paraprofessional. Sometimes it's the principal. It can be a parent, a teacher. And so that person is on site to help them with any questions technology-wise that they may need. And then I'm always on the other end of the phone, too, helping with the technology. GCI is helping us with the technology. So there's lots of people there helping with problem solving. And also, I have to say, so these students from Southeast Island District are very comfortable with this video teleconferencing. So we didn't have to teach them. There were about three or four other groups. It was new to them. So we did talk to them just about proper ways to communicate and how you do it effectively.
Great, thank you. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And how many school districts don't have adequate bandwidth or access to the technology to participate in a meaningful way with the visuals as well. I mean, I've seen the classes where there's the little icons and people signal when they want to speak or something, but that's really a poor second to an instructor being able to see people's faces and see when somebody looks puzzled or Absolutely. Isn't paying attention or whatever.
Yes. And so this is a synchronous class. What that means is they meet at a specific time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of our classes are asynchronous, so they can be done anytime and anywhere. And so the video component gets a little tricky when it comes to bandwidth, but I can tell you for this class, there was nobody that was left out. There were some places that required calling in on the audio bridge and then watching the power. We load up all of the visuals onto the website so they can download them. Mm-hmm. In advance. And then when they're finished, we record this. So if they want the full visual, they can download it after the class is over.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that most districts, I want to say that everybody, even Allakaket, which is, you know, in the middle of the state, were able to either stream it or access VTC through the libraries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Grinner.
So our teachers, very proud of our teachers, all highly qualified Alaskan educators. They're stellar teachers that were recommended by their superintendents, and they model best practices in the content area. So to give you a quick example of this, we had four students in North Slope, small community, that signed up for our Alaska Studies class, and it was too rigorous for them. And the online format, as you mentioned, they weren't familiar with it, uncomfortable with it. It wasn't working for them. So their teacher, who was a first-year teacher, new to the state in January, took on this Alaska Studies class. However, what we did was we sent him the curriculum, so he used the curriculum from our online class, and he's tailoring it to fit the needs of his students. So we do have that flexibility. We can give that support without providing both pieces. We can provide just the curriculum or just the teacher, whatever works for the students in the district. So again, back to our students. I'm going to talk a little bit about the enrollment data. So this is by region. You can see how many students we have involved this year. And this is broken down by district. There's a lot of information there. Kind of tough to see, but this is also in your packets. And I just wanted to show this one because there is a little bit of a difference in these bars. The red and the blue indicates the red is students that are actually in the classroom with the teacher, and then the blue is distance students. So I mentioned that pre-calculus class is a mix, and one that kind of sticks out on here is our U.S. government and politics class that has a long red bar. So that's Michelle Gala out of Wrangell. She's teaching U.S. government to 32 students in Wrangell, and then she has one student that is joining them via distance. And our dropout rate, we have a 91% success rate. And we did have 9% or 30 students not complete their classes, and so the reason for that they indicated to us were various, but the most popular being that the courses were too rigorous. And so one of the things to add to my answer to your question earlier, too, is we're looking at developing a how to take an online class and also making sure that we have pre-assessments so that the students are ready for our classes. Okay, and I would love to finish here with some of our students. And so you'll see two students from Thorne Bay on Southeast Island, or Prince of Wales, and then we have two students from King Cove from the Aleutian Chain. And the two gentlemen that you'll see here from Thorne Bay have called into the audio bridge, so if you have any questions for them, they're able to answer too.
Hi, my name is Tristan. I'm Thorne Bay and Prince of Wales Island in Southeast Alaska. There are around 470 people who live in Thorne Bay, give or take a few. We have around 90 students in Thorne Bay School and about 10 in my graduating class this year. I'm taking Introduction to Mining Occupations and Operations from Ackland this semester. I've enjoyed taking this class. It's nice going to class just twice a week for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then having the rest of the week to kind of just do the work on your own schedule. It's really nice. I also have enjoyed getting to know other people from other communities around Alaska. I wouldn't have known them otherwise if it wasn't for this class. This course has also helped me better understand and appreciate the mining industry. I've learned a lot about the concerns and the benefits to having mines around Alaska, And I think that there are many opportunities for Alaskans to get local, good-paying jobs because of the mines. This class has definitely opened up a whole new set of opportunities for me as I graduate high school and look over my options. Thank you.
Please state your name, grade, and course title. What did you like about the class you took online?
I like making different projects and presentations, like the brochure. That was fun, and all the different movies that we made.
If you could change one thing about the class, what would it be?
That goes on for two semesters. Make the back end, then read, and do it.
What do you like about the class you're taking online?
Learning experience.
It's
going to help me in the future
in
my college class.
Is there anything you don't like about the class?
No, I like the class. It's difficult, but I like it.
Would you recommend others to take this online course?
Yeah, many. You're in 3 college class.
3
college,
because... Hey there. My name is Drew Triple, and I live in Fort Alaska, located on the eastern side of the world. It's a very small community, and there are around 10 students in my senior class. Currently, I'm taking the Introduction to Mining Operations and Occupations class offered by the University of Alaska Southeast, the Alaska Learning Network. I love this class and enjoy it very much. It's always easy to access my course no matter what technical issue I might be having. The opportunities available to me because I'm taking this class are awesome. I hope to earn an internship at the end of the class of mine. Because of the interest I have grown in taking this course, I decided to enter UAF after graduating with a bachelor's degree in engineering.
All right, so that's the way that I would like to leave my presentation.
Thank you. And you said that the two, Triton and True, are online?
Tristan and True, yeah. Yes, they should be here in the audio bridge. I'm not sure how that works, yeah.
Would you identify yourself, Triton or True, if you are with us?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, great. Thanks so much. So one of the students from in the Aleutian chain said it was difficult. Would you agree with that? Is it difficult, or is it an easy way to get a credit?
I think it's a pretty easy way to get a credit. I mean, there are technical difficulties every once in a while, but Kelly makes it pretty easy for us to access the course in many different ways.
Workload-wise, I would say that we do a little bit of work, but, you do a little work when you get a credit, so...
Thank you. Did either of you use this as a way to gain college credit as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we are in the Intro to Mining course, and we are getting 3 UAS credits for it.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen, for the questions. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I have 2 different lines of questions. One is about funding. Where does your funding come from?
If I could direct that question.
Commissioner always thinks he's not going to be called upon, but he always is.
So glad to have him around.
And for the record, Commissioner.
For the record, my name is Mike Hanley. I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Education. The infrastructure of this program originally began with some stimulus funds. This last year, we were able to keep those funds were not renewed. We had it in our budget last year, and they were not renewed. So we used minimal amount of funds that we had. We had a couple of vacancies in the department, and we were able to keep Ackland going. So it's a part of our GF right now. What is currently in the governor's budget for future funding to keep it moving?
Thank you, Commissioner, for the question.
Thank you. I do have another question, a different topic.
Okay.
One of the challenges that we face with CTE courses is that much of it is hands-on, and so you need smaller class sizes, and you need specialized equipment on occasion. So do you see limitations on what can be done through distance learning for the CTE?
It's a very valid question, and we've been talking about that working with Avtec on ways in which we can do this. They have a very VTC program there that they've been using for a long time. What I've been hearing is that you do a true blend, so you have some place-based content. So if there is a hands-on component, then you do a week or 2 weeks and do that training, and then any kind of follow-up work you can do after the fact.
Thank you. Or prep. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry, Senator Levy.
Thank you. Well, how long is the preparation time for these courses similar to regular courses taught in the regular schools? In other words, does a teacher have to take more time to prep for these courses or not?
To make their content online.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. Prepare their lesson or make their
content. Yeah. So what we encourage the teachers to do is that they flip their classroom, is what we call it. So they take all of their content from their class and they make it digital in the summertime. And so what happens with them, what I've heard from teachers is once they've done that, their prep work is done. So they're not making copies. They're not changing. Well, they might be changing their lesson plan before they begin, but all of that infrastructure for that class and that lesson is complete by the time the course begins.
One more. And just a different question. Maybe I missed it in the documents, but what's the average student per teacher ratio? How many kids per class?
I don't have that exact number on paper, but what I can tell you is that most classes have between 2 and a maximum of about 25.
Thank you.
I think we have any more than 25. With the exception of the mining class.
Which has?
72, but it also has 4 instructors.
Very interesting. So I assume you're finding that some people are some teachers are better than others, and you're developing sort of a cadre of instructors that you'll call upon as you need them?
Yeah, exactly. And what we're looking to do is start a mentorship program so that our experienced online teachers will be able to help our new online teachers, because it is a paradigm shift, and there's a lot to learn.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you. That's where the professional development comes in as well.
Further questions? Senator Hardens?
Yeah, a couple, three. Number one, I'm very pleased that the vetting we did on performance scholarship is working, because this is the testament of emerging and doing a transition from one style to looking at how we can accommodate more students and maybe some innovative teaching techniques. My assumption, if I'm a teacher in the learning network, that in preparing the course, I would be on an extended contract in the summer, as an example. And before I teach the class, I have a planning time allocated. Is that a good assumption or not?
And that's generally how we do it, yes. And we give those teachers $4,000 and an iPad for designing that class.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And harking back to one of my earlier questions, are there any communities in this state that you simply cannot serve because of technological limitations?
No. Our classes, we had some trouble with bandwidth, as you mentioned before.
Bandwidth.
Yep. And so the solution was we send out hard drives with all of the material loaded on them.
Thank you.
Senator Donnelly.
Thank you. What is the eventual goal of Acklin in terms of expansion or reach? What's the goal?
We would like to see all of our classes be Alaskan-made courses, and we'd like to see sharing as much as possible. So right now in Kodiak, what they're doing internally is they're making sure that all students are served and have all of the courses that the students in the big cities do. So that's what we'd like to do statewide, is we want all of our rural communities to have access to the same courses that our urban students do. And the urban students benefit as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kelly. And you mentioned you wanted your chairman to speak as well.
Please, and if I could first invite up the group from Haynes that's here.
Oh, yes, of course.
Show the case study of what we've been doing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Michael Beyer. I'm the superintendent of Haynesboro School District. And we currently have two teachers teaching Acklin courses, and we have another one who would like to get Spanish online, too. And I'm here today with two of our distinguished high school students who are here to and a teacher who is the coordinator of the of our independent learning center, which Acklin is sort of, that's how it's implemented in that. And they're going to do a presentation on Acklin and the independent learning center.
Thank you, Michael.
Good morning. My name is Nevada Benton, and I work.
And sorry, say your name again, please.
Nevada Benton.
Thank you, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
So we've created an independent learning center at Haynes High School, striving to offer more courses, to offer a full inclusion environment to meet students' graduation needs, extending from dual college high school credit credit retrieval and response to intervention courses. So those would be the courses assisting students who aren't performing at grade level. So this is what the Independent Learning Center looks like. Getting to know our students, if you were walking by this room and looking in, you would have no idea which students were working on college-level courses, which students were working on credit retrieval, and which students were undergoing some intervention programming. Walking by, they're all engaged in their programming. And then what you'll see here is, this is from the teacher's desk, and we've got a paraeducator typically in there. Let's see, I don't want all my notes showing up here. Okay. What we're looking for is good value courses, and so we have a priority in terms of which courses we enroll students in. We've got staff created independent courses from staff who are on, thank you, who are on our staff, and then we also use the Career Ready KeyTrain coursework, which is no additional cost to the district. We use that primarily for additional supports for students who need additional supports in reading, writing, and math. And then the next thing that we enroll students in are the classes for Alaska's Learning Network. We have teachers on staff who create and teach courses to earn seats for our districts, and I'll be one of those teachers next semester. And those run about 150 to 250 per course. And then for the courses which Alaska Learning Network doesn't yet have everything that we need to offer our students, and so we do have other online providers currently until Alaska Learning Network has what we need. So we're currently using Aventa. So as I stated before, the paraeducators provide the tech support, the tutoring, and some classroom management for the actual room itself. And then we always have a teacher of record, and they're highly qualified, and either as a person on our staff or a person from an online provider. In terms of the classroom expectations, it just follows the Haynesboro School District's code of conduct, and it reflects any common expectation of any workplace. And the space itself is designed to be a quiet study space, similar to a tutoring room that may be found at a university. So in order to communicate to all of the students who are in the Independent Learning Center, we have just an online forum where they take an expectations presentation. They go through an expectations presentation and then take an associated quiz. They do some reading and some study on successful tips for online learning and also take an associated quiz for that. And then they plan out their semester, because one thing with online programming, if the provider isn't from Alaska, they may not have an understanding about how travel affects and how the basketball, for instance, the teams will be traveling for a while. And so they need to adequately plan in advance for any kind of absences they may have. So in terms of the strengths of the Independent Learning Center, we are serving a wide number and variety of students at a wide variety of different learning abilities. It appeals to students. When I surveyed the students in the courses, they liked that there were more offerings, that they could progress at their own pace, and that they didn't have any scheduling constraints. And then also, they were very pleased to have skills for a worldwide job market. We want our students to not only compete in Haynes, in Alaska, in the lower 48, but we want global competitors. And then, of course, we're able to offer multiple courses so that at minimal cost, so that we can have more people who qualify for the Governor's Scholarship. So we've been in operation for two semesters. We have 93 students in the high school, so we're serving just about a third of the population in the Independent Learning Center. What this does is it provides smaller class sizes across the board for more individualized instruction. We have 25 different courses and 35 students being served. 14 of those students right now are taking college preparation courses.
Could you just tell us the types of classes you're providing through online? Did somebody mention languages? Are you doing languages as well?
Yeah, that's correct. We have Japanese, French, and Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And then math.
And then we have Algebra 2 through Aklan, and we have some calculus. We have a wide variety of different courses.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The number of students who are currently being served who receive services either on an individual education plan or a 504 plan in the special education department, that we have 9 students. Students undertaking credit retrieval, 11 students, and students mentioned in child studies teams as having behavior which affects his or her ability to succeed, Currently we have 4 students. This is really important to me as an instructor because I want all students to succeed, and this is one, this environment has turned out to be very successful for students who maybe were not successful in the traditional classroom. So even though a majority of the students were required to take their class in the Independent Learning Center due to scheduling constraints or just the way that things rolled out, they still came back, and the survey is saying that they would recommend the class they enrolled in and that they were overall happy with their Independent Learning Center experience.
Well, Senator Gardner.
Thanks. And of those who wouldn't recommend the classes or were not overall happy, do we know why?
Yes. First, there was one student who they weren't successful with online learning, and they didn't operate even with training and supports. They were unable to interact with the technology in a successful way. So there was one student that didn't like it because of that, and then we are moving away from some of our online providers and moving towards Acklin, and so we had some other online providers that weren't as well-rounded and as supportive to our students, and so those were some of our students that weren't happy with their programming.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that some folks have trouble adapting to a new system like this. I understand that. I guess what I don't quite understand is a student who is having trouble in a regular classroom, mm-hmm. but yet would be more successful in an online situation. Could you help us understand that situation?
It's very structured. The classroom expectations are very clear. And then also, once you get into high school, oftentimes there are different natural tracks that people fall into. There's students who are taking all the AP classes, and then there are students who might be undertaking a lot of additionally supportive classes. Well, the Independent Learning Center has all of these students in the same room. And so through peer modeling, I've found that students who have had unexpected behaviors in the traditional classroom are not having those unexpected behaviors.
It's really interesting. Thank you, Dakota. Yes, Senator Dunleavy.
Just a couple questions. What is Aventa? Aventa?
Aventa is just, they are an online content provider, so they have highly qualified teachers in multiple different subjects. They have some credit retrieval options, which are not currently yet available with Acklin. And they have, like, for instance, the Japanese courses through them, and Acklin doesn't currently offer that.
So you would purchase the courses through them?
Yes, that's correct.
The courses for Acklin, roughly about how much do they cost?
150 to 250.
Okay. Would those courses be open, let's say, if there was room in the classes for folks outside of the public school system, or no?
I apologize. I can't answer that question, but I can refer that question to somebody else. Thank you.
Commissioner.
Thank you.
If there was room in a class and somebody outside of it, outside the system again, wanted to take the class, could they do that and pay the fee?
For the record, Mike Hanley, Commissioner for the Department of Education, and through the chair. Theoretically, there are no restrictions to that.
So they're open to all students in Alaska?
Correct. Our courses are offered through school districts. So it becomes a function of the school district and potentially Haynes offering that seat to work with other students. But there are no legal restrictions to that. We have that opportunity at the local level.
Are you set up to take payment from outside the system? Cash payment, check payment, whatever?
Local districts are. If a student were to come from outside of their district, they have the ability currently in statute to charge tuition to that student. They have the opportunity to take a student from outside their district, but they have that ability. So they could, if they were offering something like this, theoretically they could say, come on in, this course will be $250.
Okay. And one last question. On the online service providers, Aventa is one of them. Do you have others that you use?
Yes. Over the last 2 semesters, there have been other online providers, and we really would like to stay Alaska-based and have one of the primary things we're looking at is class size, student-to-teacher ratio, and then student-teacher relationship. Mm-hmm. And so one of the positive things about Acklin is that there's a small class size, and then they also have an understanding about how life is in Alaska. Whereas, for instance, Aventa, they have average student-teacher relationship, 90 students to one teacher, and then they may be highly qualified and have in Alaska, but they may be living somewhere else, and so they may not, the teacher themselves may not have an understanding about how life is here.
One last question. You talked about at their own pace they can do the courses. Mm-hmm. Is there an end date? I mean, can they go on for a year, 2 years? How does this work?
It depends on the policy of the online provider.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Senator, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Nevada. Question.
Thank you. Senator. So do the school districts pay all of the fees currently? Do the students pay anything? And associated with that, do some students take classes only for the college credit? They don't need it for high school. And if that's the case, who pays for that?
I can speak to my district in terms of how the payment happens. We have, it's the application process for funding because we don't have an endless number of funds for online learning and for college level courses for every student. So it's an application basis and we form a committee. And so we do have, we have just about $4,000 a year that we can give mm-hmm. college level credit. And there, what we do is that the student may pay a portion, and then when they pass the class, then we will reimburse that. And I don't know how other districts are choosing to handle that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So I would really like to hear from Zeke and Chris. They are currently enrolled in Ackland class.
Thank you. And if you fellas could just slip over there, and we can catch you on the microphone, maybe move the microphone a little bit towards you there.
Hi, I'm Chris Turner from Haynes High School. And first of all, I'd like to say that this independent learning course in Ackland just provides many opportunities for all the high school students, from trying to get college credits and prepare themselves from college to just helping them retrieve credits from what they haven't been able to pass or just haven't taken the courses yet in their high school career. And it offers so many more courses than small schools can provide. We have a school of about 100 high school students approximately, and we only can provide so many courses with what teachers we have, and this lets the school let the students have a much higher variety than they would have had before. And also, Ackland is very project-based compared to other independent learning facilities. It's more initiative. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
No, let's take your time, Chris. I appreciate your willingness to come and talk with us.
Yeah, it's very project-based. It's not just like read and then write down the answers. They give you projects that is more related to the real world. It gets you ready for jobs, for college. And the teachers, you're very interactive with the teachers at the very start of the courses. They provide you with the email. They're talking to you constantly throughout the courses. It's not just, I've taken other independent learning courses that are not nearly as interactive. Being Alaskan based, they usually just tell you the so said instructor's name, and that's all you readily ever hear of them is the name at the start of the course. In the Ackland course that I've taken, the computer literacy one, the teacher constantly emails you, checks in how you're doing, talks to you, tells you about your courses, compared to just a name on a piece of paper.
Well, thank you, Chris. So what classes have you taken through Ackland, and which ones are you using for dual credit?
So far I've taken on Ackland, I've taken computer literacy for dual credit for both high school computer credit and UAS credit, and I've also taken two BYU courses, and that's the what I was talking about, the instructor just having the name on the piece of paper. I took Algebra 2 my freshman year, and I took Astronomy this last semester.
Thank you, Chris. That's great to hear, to have that leg up as you go to college. Appreciate mm-hmm. your comments. Can you slip the microphone over a little bit so your friend can we hear him?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Ezekiel Frank. And I have only taken one Ackland course, or online learning course for that matter, and that's the Introduction to Mining. I have to say it's a really wonderful course. And as he was saying, with just having the instructors talking to you the whole time, it is definitely the case. I mean, as you saw, we do the VTC, the video teleconference, and we get to see our instructor every day, and we have a live feed coming to our school, and we usually have presenters from, they can be from all over the state. Just this last Thursday, Mike Bell, our instructor, was in Haynes with us, and he usually teaches out of Juneau, but he came to Haynes to visit with us. That just shows you how interested they are in the students. It's really personal. You know, it's something that is kind of, whenever you think of online learning, you don't think of how personal it is, but Ackland is really good at being with you and having this experience with you. And so we had him and we had Michael and Haynes, and then we had presenters in Fairbanks who had a video teleconference there. So we had, being in Haynes, we had just this extreme use of technology, and it was just really awesome just to see this. It worked really elegantly, and it was just, Ackland is definitely, I think, the future of learning in Alaska. I know that funding is a big issue this year, and whether it's the BSA or if it's just getting funding for Ackland. And I can tell you that Ackland is definitely the biggest bang for your buck that you're going to get when it comes to education. I mean, you can spend this somewhat minuscule amount of money on Ackland, and it just goes so far. I mean, it's really cheap. It's much cheaper than having to get a teacher for every single district when you can just have one teaching it to all these kids. I mean, I don't see a better or easier solution, more efficient solution to this money problem.
Thank you, Ezekiel, and thank you, Chris. Haynes District should be very proud of these young men, how articulate they are and willingness to sit before this sort of intimidating situation here in the Capitol. Thank you for being with us. Please, Nevada, any further questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, was it Joe?
Ezekiel and
Ezekiel. I'm sorry, I don't hear very well. Ezekiel.
Oh, it's fine.
And you were taking mining, right?
Yes.
He was mining the our committee there for a moment for funding. I heard. So.
Pretty effective, don't you think?
Well, you know, for both Joe and Chris, I mean, number one, it's heartening, and I know your mom and dad are proud of you that you're here today. It's heartening for person like myself who has been advocating for an evolution of our education system, and you're a testament to that. And Ezekiel, you mentioned pieces of it, as did Chris, because you can't, doesn't matter where you sit, it's a matter of watching the screen. And that's my question. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a screen, you're looking at it on the wall. I believe, based on the three children that my wife and I raised, that you're much more comfortable looking at that screen than you are me doing a lecture to you. But help me out. Is that kind of true, almost true, or false?
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
we're fixing to get mined by Ezekiel again.
Well, I think that as like technology increases and technology is just kind of intertwined with education, I think that you see kind of this change from these lectures to looking at the screen. But it's not always, it's not so much that we still have lectures in the mining course, and we are looking at the screen. And I know some people learn differently. So for my situation, I can learn either way. I mean, I like looking at the screen, and it's kind of nice not to be on the spot sometimes. But I think definitely a lot of people are getting used to looking at the screen, and it's good because if it makes sense just to do that, you know. So,
yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just one final comment. You know, if nothing else, Ezekiel, I'm impressed that you know what the BSA is. I think back when I was in high school, and I would have no idea about what the funding mechanism was for the school, and the fact that you know BSA. I'll give you an A-plus for today's presentation. And Chris, Bill Thomas, who's from Haynes, has told me how good the school system was there, how good the students were, and I'd just like to compliment both of you guys and Nevada for what you represent. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So whether you're in a classroom or whether you're teaching online, no matter how we're teaching, you just want to get to know your students. It's about relationship. So in doing that with part of the Independent Learning Center, we do just a learning modality survey, which is just simply surveying how students learn best, and then providing them with specific study strategies which use their strengths. So these are just the eight, the Gardner's eight intelligences. People learn in different ways, you know, word smart, whether they can read and write, whether they're really talented at math, whether they like to people smart, whether they like to work together, or whether they prefer to work independently. Kinesthetic learners, the people who learn by just doing, by jumping in and doing it. And so in choosing online programming, these are the results of the students who were in the Independent Learning Center, and then what was concerning was the one on the bottom, the word smart component, and that is just reading and writing. And so our population didn't learn the best that way. They needed all of these other things to really retain the knowledge, because what we want is for them to learn what they need. We need a rigorous program so that they can get out life after high school, so that they can have a good career and apply what they know in the workplace. And so it's good to incorporate all of these different ways of learning in programming, whether it be in the classroom or online. And so we've already covered this, that these guys are tying into all the modalities, but there's a class size difference, and also a lack of understanding about life in Alaska. There's not place-based learning where things are being applied to how things are here. And then Alaska Learning Network does have the smaller class size and knows Alaska's specific experience. So the bottom line here is that you don't want to put your students in a box. Online learning isn't for everybody. We want to meet individual student need however we can, the best way for each individual student. And the Independent Learning Center is a great way to provide just another option for meeting individual student need.
Thank you, Nevada. So your responsibility personally is not only the Learning Center, but also to do classes online as well? Is that true?
I have an interesting position in that I'm the special education teacher in Haynes High School. I also run the Independent Learning Center, and then I'm the class on-site supervisor for the mining class in Haynes, and then and I also will be teaching an online course at Acklin.
Gosh, how do you fill your days, though? I mean, you have a lot of time on your hands. Thinking about that question. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think you're struck by the student in the box holding a book. So my question is, are textbooks becoming obsolete? Are they used with any of the online learning classes?
They're not becoming obsolete. And there are digital books, but then there are textbooks, like the mining class, for instance. We have a textbook that we use.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. Thank you very much. Nevada, any further comments you have?
Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate what you've had to say. So I think we are going back to Kelly. Is that correct? Or at least to the chairman, maybe that's correct. Okay, Mr. Chairman.
My name is Scott Butterfield. I'm the superintendent for the Chatham School District here in Southeast Alaska. Our district got involved at the beginning when this whole idea came up. And now, as you heard from Steve Noonkesser earlier, this whole idea of online learning is not new to Acklin. It's been tried to find a grounded platform for 15 to 20 years. Acklin is the latest effort at that. It's very widely supported, as you can see by all the people behind me. It reaches every corner of the state, from the Aleutians to the far southern portions of Southeast Alaska to Point Barrow, and everything in between, small schools, big schools. Some of the bigger schools have got their own abilities to do some of the things that Acklin is doing, and so they've struck out on their own to do that. But they're also supportive of what we're doing. This has been an ongoing conversation for the past two, now going on 3 years. In my district, we have one school with one teacher, another school with two teachers, and there is no way, as you heard, for them to be highly qualified in all the content areas that they have to teach. And so a concept like Acklin allows for us to have people from our own state teach our own kids and understand that. We used to buy courses from Florida Virtual High School. It's a different vendor. And we don't do that anymore. We buy all of our classes through Acklin. You saw the course list. It's diverse. It covers everything. It allows them to take the classes that we might not otherwise be able to offer and be able to potentially qualify for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. It has the support from the governor, the Commissioner of Education, the Department of Education, and all these Alaska superintendents from every reach of the state. We have partnerships with the University of Alaska, Alaska Heritage, Hecla Greens Creek Mine, the Alaska Humanities Forum, the Alaska Association of School Boards, the Alaska Staff Development Network, the Alaska Council of School Administrators, the Alaska Society for Technology and Education, GCI, and the partnerships are just going to grow. Everybody sees the value of this. You know, things come along in our humanity, the wheel, and now Acklin. I think it's so affordable that you can't say no to this. And if you are supportive, then we would ask you to help convince those who are on the bubble and can't see the value of it. These kids were eloquent in their ability to state their case for why they think this is of value. But we also see it. And so I don't have all the answers that you've been able to ask of all of the different people. Kelly did a wonderful job, I thought, of sharing all that kind of stuff. But here's all the positives. A kid could take this almost any time of the day. It bridges the equity gap that schools can't achieve. It meets the highly qualified standards that we're obligated to abide by. It covers the geography of this state. All these courses are vetted by national standards. An increasing number of Alaska teachers are able to teach online classes, and part of the program for Acklin is to grow that body of teachers so that even more can do that. It's affordable. It's timely. The quality of the courses is getting better all the time. The diversity of courses grows. These are, as I said before, taught by Alaskan educators. The value of distance education and the kinds of things that kids are taking, not just at the high school level, but eventually as they get into post-secondary, whether it's CTE kinds of pathways or whether it's a post-secondary higher education, and of course it meets the Alaska Performance Scholarship, and I've probably left some out. But this has value. I think for most of us, you can see that. And so what we're asking for you to do is to not let this die on the vine. It'll be years and years and years before this can resurface in another form the way it is right now. So don't let that happen. We don't need another square wheel.
Well, thanks, Scott. So we've heard from Nevada about the system. They have the learning center they have there. What about your district? Do you have a similar learning center? How many students do you have who are taking advantage of ACLA?
Well, for example, the one teacher, one school, Tenneke Springs, she has to manage all the kids at all the grade levels. Now, there's only about 10 kids. So she has to monitor one student. A couple of our kids are taking Spanish. We can't teach Spanish in any of our schools, even the schools that have more teachers. So this allows us to get foreign languages where we wouldn't otherwise be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And the idea that a teacher from the state of Alaska is teaching our students, it matters to me. I grew up in Anchorage in the 50s. I came back to Alaska in the 80s. And here I am back again in this time frame. And I'm proud of that. And these kids are proud of being Alaska students. And I think it means something to them to know that the person teaching them is from Alaska as well. So a teacher like that has to manage their day, monitor those students. We do have some paraprofessionals that are available to help in some of those classes. I don't think we have any parents that are doing that, but we have kids at Angoon that are taking classes as well. So the diversity depends on the need of the student, and Acklin fits that need.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your comments. Any further questions? Thanks. Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you very much, Scott. I'm looking at some of the courses, and my question for you is simple. Undoubtedly, there are school sites that the PTR is not what we'd like it to be. But it appears that the learning network offers an opportunity of relief for that. If I'm the teacher in school X and we have 30 students, that the principal in school X could say, let's use the learning network for Algebra 1. Is that going on?
Well, I would say that it would go on in bigger schools. Ours are small enough that if we had 30 kids in one class, I'd be every kid in the whole high school taking that one class. So it doesn't matter for us in that particular example. But one of the things that came up in one of the comments, kids learn in different ways. We had a traditional classroom of English students. We had a student who would not read a paperback book. I don't remember what the book title is. I think that's not the relevant point. But we gave that same book, page for page, word for word, presented on an iPad, and the kid read it, ate it up, enjoyed it, loved it. For some reason, that appealed to his learning style more than flipping through pages and dog-eared books, and so he got a lot from it. Now, Ackland provides those kinds of opportunities for those kinds of learners, and I think it appeals to kids these days. You know, nowadays, we have smartphones, smart tablets, computers, projector screens. The technology is just growing like crazy. Everything seems to be obsolete with a few years because of all the advances. We're able to take advantage of that and present it in ways that I think matter to kids.
Good point. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Scott. We need to move on. We have a few other people who want to testify, and thank you so much for your comments.
You're welcome.
We have about 50 minutes left, and several speakers. We'll begin with Luke Fulp. If you were with us, Luke is at the Matsu School District. He's not on. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to Rob Thomason at Petersburg. Is Rob with us?
Right here.
Oh, right here. Okay, thank you, Rob. Please come up.
Good morning, Senator Stevens, Senators. For the record, my name is Robert Thomason, Superintendent of Petersburg City School, Petersburg Borough School District, just became borough, and current president of the Alaska Association of School Administrators. You will notice if you look at the Ackland data that Petersburg is not represented in there as participating in Ackland courses. This is not from lack of desire. This is from a prior and long-term relationship with VHS. We actually provide a VHS teacher. We have VHS classes. We are very excited about moving over to Ackland. VHS is based in Massachusetts. All their teachers are highly qualified. But we want to use Alaska teachers, Alaska classes for Alaska kids. That costs us about $6,700 a year to subscribe to VHS, plus we devote one full period of our teacher, which is about $8,000 to $10,000 per period. So Ackland's a better deal financially, and I really can't outdo Ezekiel in letting you know how good the deal is there.
Oh, go ahead, you can try.
There's no way. Couldn't do it. Petersburg is blessed with great infrastructure for technology. We're a one-to-one district. We have high-speed internet, fiber to the island. We are an island, and we are now becoming a small district. We have 450 youngsters in the district, 150 in the high school, and that's why we moved years ago to VHS. We offer to VHS or through VHS AP or Advanced Placement English and Spanish. And we would be able to provide those courses within Ackland and add to the capacity of Ackland as we participate. One of the questions you asked is, how is it structured? In Petersburg, we have a Learning Commons, which used to be in the traditional term called a library. It's now Learning Commons. We've rebuilt it. It has study rooms, not study carrels. The library media specialist assists the students with their courses if they have difficulty, so she has a research base. We have anywhere from in a given period of a day, two to four, five students in the Learning Commons working on their VHS courses. Our VHS teacher has 7 students this year in her Spanish class, but she has 20 other students nationwide, and we'd prefer that it be all Alaskans. I guess the final comment is that these kids today are entering a world of online learning. Many of the staff that we have in the school district participate through the Department of Education with online learning for the required courses, bloodborne pathogens and those sort of things. It is there. It is happening. And I just want to commend and thank the leadership of Acklin and Commissioner Hanley for sticking with it. We wish we could have been on the ground floor in Petersburg. We were so committed to providing through VHS, we couldn't just switch horses without the knowledge that this was going to continue. And that is why we have held back. And I would encourage the committee to make that long-term commitment to Acklin so that the districts such as Petersburg, who have been doing this but want to participate, can make that leap of faith and know it will be there. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Questions?
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you very much. as I recall, a teacher that comes from Timbuktu to Alaska has to take and gets a provisional teaching certificate. One of the courses they have to take is Alaska Studies. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yes. So, and I noticed that there's Alaska Studies 1 and 2. Can that teacher go to the Learning Network and take that course and get the qualification?
You can take the Alaska Studies class through ASDN, Alaska Staff Development, so there is a methodology. It wouldn't be AKLN. It's predominantly for our students, but through Alaska Staff Development Network, also sponsored by AXA, they can do that, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Others?
Senator Gardner.
Thank you. You mentioned the $65,000 a year, like I said, your contract and the teacher cost.
$6,750.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Inflationary, but it hasn't been that bad. That's our subscription to VHS, and that would go away, and we'd be able to invest those local funds in Acklin.
Thank you. So I guess the question I was going to ask has less impact than I thought. But would you see it also in setting aside the question of using Alaskan resources and variety of courses and such, would you see it as a cost savings?
Yes.
Thank you.
Quite interesting to think. If we were to enter your library, those of us who were educated a few decades ago, we would find it much different than we remembered it.
You would not recognize it. Back in the day, there were teachers who would not allow students to write with a pen because it had to be in pencil. That was a technology of the day. We are moving on.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Rob. Let's move on to, I believe it's Elaine Price. I'm not sure, from the Southeast Conference. Elaine, thank you very much for being here. And if you identify yourself, please, for the record.
My name is Elaine Price. I'm with Southeast Island School District on their board and also with Southeast Conference, and I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today. Southeast Island School District has 15 students in the Introduction to Mining Occupations class, 4 schools represented, and this is an opportunity that we couldn't have afforded if it would have been in another program. And it's a great opportunity for our students to get some career counseling and guidance for future occupations. But what I really wanted to speak today is, as Southeast Conference, my job is Workforce Development Coordinator, and I feel that this program gives our students in Southeast Alaska the opportunity and the tools they need to move ahead and get good jobs in the future and stay in Alaska. And these classes and opportunities wouldn't be available without this program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elaine. I appreciate your comments. I'm going to have to move on to get everyone in here, but I certainly appreciate what you've had to say, Elaine. Let's move on to Teresa Keel. Teresa, good to see you again. And then we'll go on to, I think it's Lisa Paraday and then Bill McLeod. So if the three of you are our last three presenters, and we've got about 8 minutes, so.
Good morning, and just want to thank the committee for giving everyone the time to speak to this wonderful program. Cordova is one of the school districts that provides one of the courses on the Alaska Learning Network. We currently are just now dipping our toe into the Alaska Learning Network and are finding that it's going to provide a lot for Cordova schools in the future. We are a declining enrollment school district, which means our funds are slowly shrinking, and being able to provide all of the courses that we used to be able to provide is becoming more and more difficult. And we see the Alaska Learning Network as the vehicle by which we can affordably provide a rich, rich curriculum for our students. We're looking forward to providing more courses for the Alaska Learning Network. This year we're providing a pre-calculus class that is a dual credit class. Our students in that course get credit through Prince William Sound Community College, which we have a partnership with. They're actually located within our high school. And we're looking at providing AP and dual credit statistics for next year. Our teacher currently, who teaches the Alaska Learning Network course, he was unique in that he didn't have the opportunity to attend the traditional ACLIN professional development. And that's the beauty of this program. It is so flexible that it allows even the instructors to learn how to use the product and how to disseminate their courses at their own pace, in their own way. He's a fisherman, so he can't participate in any kind of summer professional development. And he was able to learn how to use the system and teach using the Alaska Learning Network just via their own professional development that's located in there. It's going to be an affordable way for Cordova to be able to trade courses. You know, we get seats. For students who take our course, we get seats in other courses, and we see that as a win-win. And I know that there are a lot of rural communities that are declining in enrollment and finding unique ways of providing those courses and equal access to be able to get the Alaska Performance Scholarship is going to be paramount in terms of equity of education. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Lisa.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman and member of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you briefly. And my name is Lisa Skiles-Parody. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for the North Slope Borough School District. I'm also a board member for ACLIN, representing the far north with my colleagues, Superintendent Eck and Superintendent Piku. And you've heard some wonderful testimony and seen some demonstrations and heard about the background and value this morning. And I think I just want to emphasize the value of ACLIN to a district like ours. As you know, the North Slope is the largest geographic school district in the nation, 89,000 square miles, about the size of Minnesota. We serve 11 sites ranging from 56 students to 640 students. And I think what's important to us is that our students have equity. And for us, we see ACLIN as an equity measure. We are not connected. We do not have fiber, as you are aware, which presents considerable issues in terms of our technological platform. But this effort allows for our students to have access to the same classes that students across Alaska have, and therefore allows them to access the performance scholarship, as well as electives and other things that we are not able to provide to them because of our unique situation. So we really, I think, want to emphasize that for the small investment you can make, I believe it's $1.1 million, the returns are substantial. And I think most notably, from the testimony from our young students here today who were quite remarkable, I think you'd find that that's fairly consistent if you talk to students across the state. So just wanted to thank you for your consideration and hope that as our chairman asked, that you will not only support this but also encourage your colleagues to do so for the sake of students.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks. Appreciate your comments and for discussing your district and the complexities of problems you face. Thank you so much. And doing a cleanup here will be Bill McLeod. Bill, thank you so much for being here, and we'll let you wrap things up. Please do. We'll get those to everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The only reason I share that pamphlet with you is because it's part of our Bill McLeod, Superintendent of Schools, Dillingham City School District. The reason I share the on the back panel of that pamphlet with you, because Acklen fits into our school-wide improvement effort. And we've made some significant progress with our reading, writing, and math proficiencies with our third-grade benchmarks, such as moving kids from 55% to 86% proficiency and 54% to 77% and 59% to 82%. We've moved annually 10% of our non-proficient kids to proficiency and not lost anyone. And we've increased our graduation rate and decreased our dropout rate, and that's where Acklen comes into play. I'm hoping that our third graders that are achieving so well have this available for them when they get up to the high school. Because what we're seeing is that our kids are accessing it for credit recovery. We're seeing kids access it because we are we're a smaller district, larger than a village, but smaller than the metros, and we're a hub. But we don't have the staff. We don't offer foreign language, for example. And our kids access Acklen for foreign language and to meet the governor's performance scholarship criteria. We started off with Acklen with three kids 3 years ago. This year, 10% of our student body, or 13 kids, are taking Acklen courses. We have a full-time computer lab that we have with an aide assigned to it. And in our six-period day, if a kid wants to accelerate or credit recovery, he can use our extended seventh period, go into that lab. It's monitored. There's an aide there, teacher available, and they can get cracking and make that credit up. Or if they want foreign language and period two has a hole in their schedule and they take five other somethings because we have those courses, that student goes in there period two. So we have kids different times of the day. There may be one, there may be three, there may be four, or in our extended day. So Acklen is helping us meet our local school improvement and plays a part in that graduation rate increasing and dropout rate decreasing, and the opportunity for kids in rural Alaska, Dillingham, to be able to take courses and qualify for the governor's performance scholarship.
Thank you, Bill. Senator Gardner.
The testimony about Acklen is all well and good, but what I'm really curious about is what you've done to increase your third grade proficiency so much.
Well, that's a longer story, and it would be a different setting, but basically it's a combination of using research-based best practices, using the money we get from the state to hire additional staff, such as reading interventionists, putting in a RTI program, response to intervention, a whole lot of staff development with our teachers, upgrading their methodology and pedagogy and teaching strategies, and rolling up their sleeves and being committed to taking our district from an underperforming district to a much better performing district today. And it's a credit to a lot of planning and hard work by our staff.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
I appreciate everyone's willingness to be here this morning. I think we've made it through the list of everybody that wanted to testify, and I have a lot of names of folks that did not want to testify, but I certainly appreciate your being here and listening to this, and thank you so much, and we're adjourned.